Hi, Marty Lurie here as we get ready for Giants baseball, joined by John Shea of the Chronicle. Shea Hay, as they call him on Twitter. John, nice to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Big day. Will Clark. Are you kidding me? Number 22. Not Jack Clark, but Will Clark, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Right. Jack the Ripper, another day. But, yes, it is a big day for Will Clark. And, John, you've been around baseball so long in the Bay Area. What are your thoughts about Will's number being retired? He's not a Hall of Famer, yes, but they're going to retire his number.
Yeah, the whole thing that you needed to be a Hall of Famer is what prevented the Giants from retiring 25, Barry Bonds' number, for the longest time. And then they said, well, what the heck? You know, it doesn't really matter if you're in the Hall of Fame. It's just, what did you do for the franchise? What did you do for baseball? What did you do in baseball? And how did you help the ball club? So, you know, Mays and Cepeda and McCovey and Martin, all the statues out there, plus Monty Irvin, of course, number 20. And by the way, there are a lot of 20s, yes, now. There are not many 20s that are available. 23, which I think they should retire for Felipe Alou, by the way. But, you know, 20 is Monty, and 22 will be Will, and 24 is Willie, and 25 is Barry, and 27 is Marichal, 30 is Cepeda. So there's not many left. You know, Joey Bart has 21, right? So that's one of the very few still available. But I think it's a great thing. Listen, I covered Will in the early years, and I was covering the Padres in his first year and a half in the majors, and then I came up in 88 and covered him all the time, all the way through 93 when they won 103, and then they didn't re-sign him. They signed Robbie Thompson instead, and it wasn't a good decision not to bring Will Clark back because he had a lot of tremendous years to go, and I think the organization struck out then, but I think they're making up for it now.
Why did Will mean so much to the community and the team? What was it about him?
You know, when he stepped in the clubhouse, it didn't matter his age or his service time. All the veterans kind of knew who the guy was. I mean, he was that good, and he was demonstrative and authoritative, and he backed it up on the field. He was the most confident player I think I've ever covered. He knew he was going to beat you that day. He knew he was going to get some big-time hits for the Giants or Baltimore, Texas, St. Louis when he finished his career. And everyone kind of knew he was going to be that guy. When you look at his numbers, I mean, he hit .345 in his final season and then retired. That's David Ortiz-ish. That's what Ted Williams did. You know, you go out with a bang, and that's what he did. But in early years, I mean, there were over 5 years he had four top five MVP finishes. He was the starting first baseman, according to the fan vote, so that's how popular he was, for like five straight years. He was the National League starting first baseman. So he wasn't just popular in the Bay Area. He was popular everywhere because that's a national vote. And when people thought of the Giants, they thought of Will Clark. And this was before Kevin Mitchell in 89. But back in 87, when that was kind of a veteran-laden team with all those veteran pitchers and Chile and Hackman and Rushel and Robinson and Kruko, and then eventually Dravecki and Lefferts and all those guys, it was Will who was hitting third. It was Will who you could hear chirping. It was Will who Roger Craig trusted. Remember, he brought up Robbie Thompson, as did Al Rosen, brought up Robbie and Will in 86, and Pat Gallagher's slogan, you know, you got to love those kids. And up from Double-A. And by the way, you're our starter. You're our guy. We're not going to platoon you. We're not going to bring you out if you're slumping. You're our guy, period. And they rode Will. They rode Robbie for years. And then Matt Williams came along. So it's a great time under Roger Craig and Al Rosen because they were so bad for so long. They won the division in 71 with Mays and Marichal and Perry and McCovey and all those guys. That was their swan song. And then they broke it up the following year. All those guys were pretty much gone. McCovey came back. But all those years later, as Hank Greenwald said, you know, all those years later, they finally won a division in 87 for the first time in 71. And then 2 years later, they upped it and got to the World Series, swept by the A's. But it was Will Clark and then Kevin Mitchell. And 89, what a year. I mean, Mitchell number one in MVP voting and Will number two. And we haven't seen that other than Bonds and Kent and Bonds in San Francisco history. So it was a glorious time, and it was suddenly people flocked out, you know, to Candlestick like it was the place to be. And for years, it really wasn't. But the mentality changed because of Will and these other guys who endured the cold and the wind and turned it into an advantage for the home team.
Boy, John Shea, terrific. Boy, John of the Chronicle really nails this one. And what was the shining light, as you sort of, that's what made me think of those words while you were talking. But he had a second life with the Giants, too. And they brought him back, and that's almost as impactful as the first life.
Yeah, and I think he kind of regretted not being re-signed. I mean, he was the face of the franchise. But in 1993, you have new owners led by Peter McGowan. Who's their guy? Barry Bonds, because we just brought this guy in. So it's not like Barry and Will were at odds. It wasn't like Kent and Bonds fighting in the dugout. You know, one hit third. Will didn't have a great year, but he was very serviceable in 93. I mean, he still hit third. Dusty Baker hit him third. You know, as a salute to the guy, even though he had Bonds and William and all these other fabulous hitters up and down that lineup in 93. But it was Will who was the three guy because Dusty believed in him and trusted him, and he got his share of big hits. He had to hit third in that lineup that won 103. So all these years pass, you know, Texas and Baltimore and finished with St. Louis. And then I think it was under Newcomb that they invited him back. And that was huge for Will Clark. It was like draft day all over again. The number two pick in the draft, Will Clark. And I think it, more than a lot of guys who come back, it really, really meant something to him. And he's used this in a lot of beneficial ways, not just off the field with charity, but on the field working with Brandon Belt. And you know that story, working with a whole lot of other guys, not just the physical game, but the mental game. I remember one time when Travis Ishikawa had an 0-for-4 in spring training and came into the clubhouse with some kind of energy drink. And Will grabbed it from him, threw it down, gave him a Bud Light and said, "That's not how you wash down an 0-for-4. Here, have this."
Great story from John Shea. Terrific. All right. Now, they win the pennant in the World Series in 10, 12, and 14. No Hall of Famers probably on that team other than the manager, Bruce Bochy. Who gets their number retired? Who made that kind of impact, comparing maybe to Will Clark, of that crowd? Because they have to honor somebody.
Well, I would suggest that Buster Posey has an excellent chance to be a Hall of Famer. Okay. 1,500 hits. But more than that, it's the era. You don't play 150 games like Johnny Bench did. You play 2 out of 3 like he did in his final season, 2 out of 3 in every series. So a lot of catchers just don't play every day anymore. So like voters who supported Curt Schilling, it's not like he had 300 wins or 200 wins. It's not like he had all these great numbers that, you know, the Tommy Johns and all these pitchers who threw well into their 40s built up. But people voted for him just because, look, in that era, you don't go 9 innings anymore. You don't play 9 innings anymore. So I think people have to look at Buster Posey in a different light. But, yeah, I imagine they're going to retire 15 for Bochy, and I imagine they'll retire 28 for Posey. So I was thinking Montefusco is 26. They're not going to retire 26. But who's next? Probably one of those two. What do you think, Marty?
No, I agree. I think Bochy's next because he's going to go in the Hall of Fame within a couple of years. And I'm glad you brought up Posey and the way you described him because he is a slam dunk. And we're seeing it even more this year, not having him, how important he was and what sort of a leader he was.
And it's not just that. He was the common denominator for the 3 World Series championships, more so than Bumgarner or Lincecum. Kane, he was the guy who was there every single inning, every single pitch. As a rookie in 10, you know, rookie of the year, an MVP, a batting crown, silver sluggers, gold gloves. He had it all. He just didn't play 20 years like maybe catchers did at one time. Maybe not 20. He didn't even go 15. But I don't think you can hold that against him. Like maybe in a different era you can hold it against other players because when you balance what they did against the generation and that era, what other catcher, except for the Hall of Famer to be in St. Louis, measured up to what Buster Posey did.
Well said. Maybe Sal Perez, you can argue, maybe a little bit. Absolutely. But, yeah, Buster Posey, I'll concede it. He is a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind. John, a pleasure talking with you. We celebrate. It's a celebration today of Will Clark and number 22, and you nailed it. Very good. Thanks, John.
I can't wait for Will Clark's speech because he said this is his Hall of Fame. He's probably not going to get to Cooperstown. He got some votes, and there have been some campaigns by some writers to get him in there because he might have been one of the best hitters of his generation. And Roger Craig called him the Stan Musial of that era, but I don't think he's going to get to Cooperstown, so this is the next best thing, and he's going to eat it up.
Love it. All right, John, thanks so much. John Shea of the Chronicle. More coming up. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.